How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Figure 4 Daily, April 26, 2011, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Joined today by Mike Quackenbush of Chikara. Been quite a while since Mike has been here on the show. And Mike, how you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. Thanks for having me on once again, Mr. Alvarez. It is very much appreciated, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Now, we wanted to get you on before King of Trios, but that didn't work out. But now that King of Trios is over, as folks on our website are well aware, the DVD is already available. And in fact, I believe the DVD was available 2 days after the show ended. Is that correct?
Even a little bit less than that, if you can believe it. 23 hours after the event concluded, it was already up for sale. All three nights, all 24 matches complete, were available, which is, I think, fairly unprecedented when it comes to independent wrestling DVDs. And the thanks for which entirely goes to a really awesome video team that we have over at Smart Mark Video. Many a sleepless night was spent on making that happen.
Yeah, the DVD market is what it is today, but, you know, we still have a lot of people listening right now, very hardcore fans that love getting DVDs. And, for example, when Gabe Sapolsky is on the show, one of the, you know, people always ask, why are the DVDs turned around faster? It's like one of the top questions. So, of course, when you came on, one of the top questions was, how did you get this DVD turned around so quickly? And, I mean, was it essentially taping it as if this were a live-to-tape event, was it structured like, okay, we're going to do this like a Raw show where, or a SmackDown show, I guess would be better, where, you know, the show's not live, but they tape it as if it were live with the inserts for the commercial breaks for the live crowd and that sort of thing. Is that essentially the way this was put together to get it done so quickly?
No, I don't believe so. And I have to plead a little bit of ignorance. You know, I don't really know how things like an episode of SmackDown are done, to be honest, apart from the explanation you just gave, Brian. My entire experience in wrestling all these years has been spent essentially toiling in obscurity. I've never been to one of the major companies to observe like how they do TV or things like that. It's a bit of a mystery to me. I'm just guessing, but I think quite different, in fact. It was really just a matter of no sooner was night one of King of Trios complete that the camera crew took the master tapes back to where they were doing the editing. And Smart Mark Video is headquartered out of northeastern Pennsylvania. And they had a separate secondary crew that just edited through the night. And they dropped in the graphics and they did all that kind of special stuff. So that by the time their camera crew showed up Saturday afternoon for the next day, the night one disc was already done. And we were very hesitant about whether or not we wanted to announce on the final night to the audience what we were doing, because it would really only take one thing to mess that up. If a computer crashed at the wrong moment, or so there was some kind of malfunction, or the master disc was altered with an error, or anything like that happened, that timetable would not have been possible. So we were kind of getting down to the nitty-gritty, it was strange, you know, as night three was concluding, the last couple matches, it just seemed like everyone, all the wrestlers, the production crew, everyone was just kind of watching what was happening in the ring as El Generico and the 1-2-3 Kid wrestled, and then the tournament final went on, which was epic. And the word came down that the night two disc was done. And, you know, it seemed like everything was really on track. Like, as long as night three could be turned around in roughly the same amount of time, we could do it. And there was almost like a stunned reaction in the arena when our ring announcer, Gavin, said that to the audience. He said that in about 24 hours, all three nights will be available on DVD. And people were looking at each other. I think they were like, is this part of, you know, we have a little bit of an off-kilter sense of humor. You know, are they joking around? And luckily, and really just through the hard work of Mike Burns and the Smart Mark Video crew, were we able to do something like that. And I can tell you this, because as you may have discovered or heard for through various sources like tabloid magazines or small children, the King of Trios DVD has gone on, the 2011 edition, to already be the best-selling wrestling DVD in the history of Smart Mark Video and the top seller in Chikara history as well. And unfortunately, what that meant for Smart Mark Video was after they spent these three and a half fairly sleepless, thankless days of doing nothing but like churning out Chikara, instead of getting a day off where they could, you know, rest up after doing all this, they got slammed with the most orders they've ever seen in the 24-hour period. Their workload, really, they just were berserk all the way for the next 5 days trying to get all the orders taken care of. And I think two things are resultant from that. One is, I get the distinct feeling Smart Mark Video is never going to try that again, because they had eight fairly hellish days. But the upside for Chikara in the grand scheme of things, I'm sure you can guess, right? If you looked at who are the 48 wrestlers that make up King of Trios, you think about everything that must go into making an event like that happen.
Mm-hmm.
You could wager, you could reasonably figure out on your own that this is probably the most expensive undertaking we've ever attempted in 10 seasons of presenting live events, and you'd be right. So thank God that the sales were there, because as you know, the DVD market is shrinking. People want the content delivered in different ways, whether they want to be able to stream it instantly, you know, like internet pay-per-view, or whether they want a downloadable content. The DVD is flirting with obsolescence. So we're really quite thankful, because it was a tremendous gamble to do King of Trios 2011 the way that we did it. And thankfully, the DVDs were a hit, because if not, this story would be far more dismal. There wouldn't be such like a jokey feel to it, you know. It'd be a very depressing conversation that you and I are having.
Now, wasn't last year's King of Trio at the time the top-selling DVD?
It did do really well, not quite as well as 2009, I think.
2009, yeah.
Yeah, the year that we had Johnny Saint made his U.S. debut and an appearance by Kota Ibushi to further augment the star power of the tournament, that one was a real, true bestseller in the real sense of the term. And 2010 did very well as well, but neither, they both pale in comparison, as do the two previous ones, 07 and 08, in comparison to this latest one. And we're really, really grateful, and I think Maybe you got a sense of this, you know, from talking to people and everything else. Going into it, of course, there was a real gray cloud over all of us at Chikara in the wake of what went down with our brother Larry Sweeney. And there proved to be something, and I realize how corny this may seem to say something like this, but I mean it sincerely. King of Trios 2011, from where it opened with a very somber and cheerful tribute to Larry Sweeney, to be frank about it, and it was very melancholy for all of us. You know, we all kind of gathered together in this massive group hug behind the curtain to try and put our game faces on to go back out and do what we had to do in spite of the loss of our friend. And across those 3 days, the tournament, the shows, the camaraderie, everything sort of transformed into this really uplifting experience that we all needed. And that final hour or two on Sunday, as the response of the audience and what took place, and not just the physical mechanics in the ring, but the emotion in the room, the gravity in that arena. And I realize this must seem very corny if you weren't there or can't relate to what I'm trying to say. It was so necessary, it was so cathartic, it was so important to Chikara as a company, to us as people, as individuals, to the whole crew, that happened exactly the way it did. And I can only hope that some part of that is emitted through the television screen, or however it is that you're watching King of Trios 2011 in your home, that you feel how raw and true and genuine that is. Because from... You know, whether it's years of being in the ring or all the stuff that you've done, Brian, outside of the ring, that there can be some wildly insincere, completely coerced, and totally bogus moments that run throughout professional wrestling. And to the King of Trios 2011 was so much the opposite of that, in that it was so sincere and so genuine and so real that it really touched us. And I think if you talk to the people who were there live, they would say that as well, corny though it might sound.
Now, you, we'll get back to Larry Sweeney here in a moment, but you mentioned, I wanted to get back to the DVDs, and you mentioned internet pay-per-view. Now, are there plans to, at some point, move to internet pay-per-view, or are DVDs doing so well that there's no real reason to do it yet?
Well, I think, you know, the medium is still evolving, and we had sort of stuck our toe in that pool years ago when we did... essentially what's not streaming but downloadable internet pay-per-views. We did three or four of them at Chikara three, 4 years ago. We tried that concept, and people weren't ready for it then, and now I don't know that the technology is really ready to meet the expectations of the fan base, and we want to be very certain before we go diving into that pool that it is filled with water, so to speak. I think there are definitely those people who you'll hear trumpet this as like the future of what we do, and they really think that our medium is hinging on this technology. And whether or not that's true, I think it may be too soon to determine. But when the temperature of the water is right, I feel fairly certain that you'll find Chikara in the pool.
Now, Larry Sweeney, of course, did pass away, and a staple of Chikara for quite a while. And I think, if I recall correctly, I didn't get a chance to see it, obviously, but the tribute was, it ended with Larry Sweeney's sunglasses sitting there in the middle of the ring. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
And, you know, you mentioned the whole cathartic nature of the entire thing, but, you know, having been around Larry as long as you were, and you know, we talked to Chris Hero about this, and obviously I'd been in contact with him at least to a degree, but did you talk to him much in the last year or so, or were you also among the many where he just kind of dropped off the radar for a long time?
I did have the chance. I stayed in semi-regular contact with him through Christmas time, and then thereafter maybe only spoke to him once or twice more. You know, Larry, who suffered from bipolar disorder and wrestled with his own depression at times, I think to refer to it maybe as the demon inside of him, when that was getting the better of him, to speak to him, it really wasn't like talking to him at all. I had phone conversations with him that maybe lasted for an hour where I don't know that I ever said a word other than hello and goodbye at the end. And he would just do all the talking in between, almost as if I wasn't a participant in the conversation. It could be very difficult to try and have, they were exhausting conversations, to be honest, because you just didn't, you know, you didn't know what your role in that dialogue was, as awful as that is to say, and it was very strenuous. But, you know, the last time that I did talk to him, if anything, he seemed to be improving. The same was true the very last time I saw him face-to-face. He seemed to be improving, and that was what we had all really kind of hoped for, was that, you know, this is the beginning of the upswing, because if he chose to isolate himself, then he would do so. And certainly, I think the geography was isolating for him. You know, he relocated to Louisiana in 2010, where none of the people that he knew very well were. He kind of hid himself away, perhaps, thinking that, you know, he could beat this thing on his own. I'm guessing. I don't know that to be fact, you know. And I think part of what makes this very difficult for me to talk about is just that, you know, there really isn't any definitive closure that's forthcoming in a situation like this. That's it. You know, you're really just kind of left with all these questions about it, and the answers are not forthcoming.
You know, when you talk about the weekend and how it started off on a somber note and of course ended the way that you talked about it ending, I didn't really even think about this until right now, but Larry obviously lost his battle, and at the same time, kind of one of the defining things of the King of Trios tournament was 1-2-3 Kid, Sean Waltman. He was on our show, you know, a couple days before King of Trios, and I didn't know if he wanted to talk about it, but he brought it up, the fact that he tried to hang himself in Mexico. And, you know, he talked about just the bottom point of his life. And King of Trios weekend ended with him and Generico apparently just totally tearing the house down. And, you know, he left a note for the entire King of Trios locker room. And, you know, that is a story that, my God, it's had a happy ending, at least at this point.
Very much so. I think that was something that kind of perpetuated this positive energy that we left with. I don't mean for that to sound as cosmic as that probably did, but you know, we all just kind of left the arena that night, or a bunch of us got to go to dinner together, feeling like I said, very, very uplifted by the experience that maybe somehow what we had created through the weekend helped to dispel the gray clouds over us, and we all just wanted to kind of cling on to that a little bit longer. You know, even the next day, we were all kind of calling each other, saying, you know, like, I feel so much better. And I think the effect that pro wrestling can have in situations like that, which maybe oftentimes goes overlooked or otherwise ignored, is so very important. And I was so flattered to get all these emails from people in the days that followed, kind of expressing the same emotions that I was feeling, including from Sean Waltman, who I would guess, you know, depending on roughly when you were getting in, I can certainly remember, like, the impact that the 1-2-3 kid had. And to have been able to share something like that with someone who I otherwise really, you know, apart from meeting him on incidental independent shows or things like that, with someone I largely knew through a TV screen, that somehow made the whole experience that much better. And it really was. It was something to see that, like I said, that whole last 60 or 90 minutes of the final night of King of Trios really had, like, that special wrestling magic. And a lot of us who were just so down because of, you know, what had happened with Sweeney and everything else, and had just sort of, this is the phrase I heard the most, those of us that had felt like we had fallen out of love with wrestling, that we had started to feel our passion for what we did waning, came out of that weekend saying, this made me fall in love with wrestling again. And it wasn't just the boys that were saying it. It wasn't just all of us backstage in the locker room saying it. But then to see the response from the fans, and obviously, I mean, in a weird way, you can see that translated directly into the amount of talk and everything else that came out of it, or the DVD sales, that people wanted to have a piece of it that they could keep for themselves. And that's really a remarkable thing to say about our art form in 2011, I think.
I went to the ROH shows in Atlanta this year, and the Embassy came out at one point, and there was a man there who I had not seen before. And now, I should preface this by saying that I was drinking, so I was perhaps more amused than I should have been, but tall, lanky fella, wearing a red jacket, the kind of jacket that I always think to myself, where in God's name do you buy a red suit jacket? And a very normal, I don't even know if normal is the proper word, he had his hair cut like he was a lawyer somewhere, and he had a very expressive and wacky face. And I immediately had to know, who in God's name is this man? And it was the man that you know as Archibald Peck.
Mm.
Where did you find this man?
Well, actually, he found us.
My God.
Quite remarkable. He resides now in the greater Philadelphia area. But I believe originally, he is Canadian by birth, but ultimately he's cut his teeth in wrestling all over the country. He's got incredible experience and has been wrestling for quite some time. And you characterize him very accurately there, Brian. Expressive is certainly like the first word that jumps to people's minds when trying to describe him.
Yeah. I mean, you see a lot of independent events and even WWE events nowadays where, you know, here's a normal-looking guy. He's got short brown hair. He looks like any guy you'd see on a college campus. You know, if you brought five of these guys to another country, I don't know if your average citizen would be able to differentiate any of them from another. But Archibald Peck, I mean, this man, he sticks out. And I just couldn't believe I'd never seen this man before. And a band leader in Chikara.
Very much, yes. And you're exactly right. Like, there's something very magnetic about him when he's in a room. And I think that's only going to contribute to his greater success and greater notoriety, as he really is now. You know, he's kind of, there's not to say that he was obscure before, but I think he was just kind of applying his trade in a part of the country where he was less likely to be recognized. And at least for right now, it seems like our little niche of Pennsylvania is the right place to be for the spotlight to be shown on you. And so he's in a very good place for that. And I think he'll only continue to impress people. He really does, as you said, he grabs your attention.
Now, was the band leader his idea or something that Chikara came up with?
The strange thing about that was when he came to see us, and a couple guys from within Chikara had sort of recommended that we give this guy an opportunity to come in and show us what he was all about. Because none of us really knew him apart from a handful of the regulars. It almost seemed as if that's what was coming out of him. Just watching him that first day that he showed up, and our first impression of him was not unlike yours, Brian, like when you saw him at Ring of Honor. But there just seemed to be something about him that exuded that. And, you know, not unlike, in a weird way, I want to be very careful about how I draw this illusion, but it is not unlike really the first time that you witnessed Larry Sweeney doing what he did. It seemed as if it was destined to go a particular direction, and there was simply no point in trying to do anything other than that with it. It was just very natural. It seemed very obvious what the next thing was. And that was the case with Archibald Peck as much as it was back in whatever that was, 2004, when on the very first day that Larry Sweeney started training at the Wrestle Factory with us.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about him, and I asked somebody, and they said, and this is exactly how they said it. So I didn't know that this was a Chikara gimmick. They just turned to me and they said, you know, he's a band leader. And I almost fell out of my chair like, no! Like, there's no way that this man could be a band leader because he looks like he could be nothing else in the world except a band leader. And, in fact, that's his wrestling gimmick. So anyway, he's my favorite wrestler in the world right now. I just wanted to throw that out there. So,
and I think once you see him in action, even more so.
I have had some. I have searched it out after I got more information. So he's something else. He's something else. We do have a question here. Just in general, obviously in Chikara, a lot of wacky gimmicks and characters. I'm sure I've asked you this before, but we have new listeners.
If you say so, Mr. Alvarez, if you say so.
Hey, if anybody knows wackiness, well, it'd actually be Dr. Keith. But seriously, the question this person has is a lot of these gimmicks. I mean, is there a 50-50 split in terms of the wrestlers themselves creating these gimmicks or Chikara creating gimmicks for them? Is there like a box? Like, is there like a box of masks and random gimmicks in Chikara and folks come in and pull one out and that's what happens here? Or how does this work?
I think I would like to start a box like that. I've often believed that maybe that's how Aldo Montoya, the Portuguese Man of War, was created. You know, they were backstage and they said, hey, come over here, put this yellow jock strap on your face.
Sure.
All right, go.
Yeah.
I'll do some searching to see if such a box exists. You know, everything is so very specific. I don't think there's a generalization that works for that. Every instance, you know what I mean? How often does a character like an Archibald Peck or a Larry Sweeney come along? How often, you know, everything is very specific. And I think that's why, I would guess wrestling fans can relate to what I'm saying, depending on what their wrestling diet is made up of. But there are times when you watch someone on television or through whatever medium you experience wrestling and you feel like this person is somehow at odds with the character. They want me to believe that, you know, whatever, maybe you look at The Undertaker and you feel like I'm led to believe this guy is this way, but something about him convinces me that he's not. And maybe to better codify that or elaborate upon it, the person does not fully inhabit the character that they portray. And I think you have to be very, very careful in that. You must always make certain that the characters are fully inhabitable. Otherwise, it's really a disservice to the performer. And I think we're very, very lucky at Chikara in that when you watch our people at work, by and large, that's not to say there isn't always an exception that, to the rule, that would be inevitable, but you'll find that the performers fully inhabit their personas. And there's always like that weird growing phase, too, you know, where they sort of have to get used to the shoes, so to speak. And I think you see that anytime somebody, you know, I can remember watching that myself. You'd watch somebody jump from WCW to WWF or whatever, and the persona had to be adjusted for whatever reasons, creative, legal, or otherwise. And there was that period where they went through some growing pains until they really filled out the character. And I think you just have to be very, very mindful when you're going about that process, how inhabitable you really make the character. That's the success of a character, really.
Sure. Now, we're running low on time, so one last question, a personal question for you, and not in Chikara in general. Any chance down the road that Mike Quackenbush versus Great Sasuke could happen? We've got a question here about that, and obviously he's been around.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, I had the chance to have dinner with him before he left to go back to Japan, and you know, he said, you know, the next time I'm here, you and I should really wrestle one-on-one rather than in a six-man tag. And I thought, you know, I don't know that I could ask for anything a whole lot cooler than that to happen the next time you and I see each other. I've been really, really lucky, Brian, in these last couple of years that I've had the chance to kind of meet or otherwise, wrestle virtually all of my idols in professional wrestling, and I'm very, very fortunate in that regard. And I almost feel like, you know, there are very few of those things left to do. So I think it would be really, really cool if the opportunity arose, you know, and circumstances played out such that I could wrestle the great Sasuke. But you never really know.
I want to say one thing very quickly before we wrap it up about Chikara, and that is that when you hear of X-Pac writing a really nice letter to the locker room, and a guy like Great Sasuke comes over and wants to come back, and any of the other guys, I mean, King of Trios, I mean, you mentioned there are a lot of guys that come in for these shows. And, you know, some legends, some big names, some former big names, some top independent guys, and they all have a really good time. And I think that part of the reason that Chikara is as successful as it is, both for the fans and for the guys that show up and want to come back, is because when I watch WWE and TNA, one of the things that's really missing nowadays is fun. You know, wrestling, the bottom line is wrestling should be fun. You could talk about you can argue about whether promos should be scripted or characters or haircuts or all this other bullshit, but the bottom line is I think everybody got into wrestling when they were a little kid, if they've been a fan that long, because this was fun. And that fun is often missing in a lot of places. And I think in Chikara, I think it's a lot of fun for the fans, and I think it's a lot of fun for the guys. And that's why they continue to support it. And with that said, let's get information out about Smart Mark Video and ChikaraPro.com. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, and thank you, by the way, for saying that, Brian. Those are very kind words for you to say, and I want to thank everybody for giving me a chance to come on here, too. I wish I could stop by this forum more often because it's always nice to talk to you. Thanks for everyone who supported us, especially through King of Trios 2011. You can get our DVDs at smartmarkvideo.com. We also now have them up for sale direct through chikarapro.com. We release new video content on our YouTube channel all the time. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. I always forget to mention this. You can catch me, by the way, on this increasingly burgeoning network of podcasts that I'm part of. Grizzly Productions issues new podcasts, of which I'm part of three right now. Catch me and my friend Clayton Morris talking about wrestling, music, pop culture at large, and everything else on the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe. Subscribe through iTunes or just go to grizzlybearcafe.com. That houses everything, including the trending show Daddy on Board and all these other podcasts that we're involved in. We would certainly love to have you as part of the dialogue over there. And just thanks again, Brian, and thanks for making time for me in the schedule to come on and speak to you today.
Well, thank you for coming on, and ChikaraPro.com is the place to go for everything Chikara. You can get information on the DVDs, the King of Trios that we talked about today, upcoming shows, there's everything. Everything is up there. Blog, roster, events, whole nine yards. ChikaraPro.com is the place to go. So thanks again, Mike, and thanks everybody for listening. We'll talk to you later on tonight.